You're listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, a conversation between two great friends with over 70 years of ministry between them. Ministering on opposite sides of the border, Dr. Al Stone is the General Director of Bearing Precious Seed Canada and Pastor Emeritus of the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, while Pastor Dan Wolven pastors the North Columbus Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Listen now as Al and Dan review and relate their experiences in hopes of helping others who are taking an interest in ministry. Now, here is Tim Talks.
Welcome to Tim Talks. That was a little weak.
Yeah, but you know, the Lord knew that was going to be weak.
He did, and he didn't really call me to do that. I just interjected myself, and that's the problem. I messed the whole thing up. So, should people really be listening to Tim Talks? Is that ordained of God? Is that part of the will of
God?
Boy,
I don't think so. Sometimes.
Well, once in a while, there's a question, but most times it's okay. Well, you'll be okay. Hey, we start off goofy, we get a little serious, we close a little goofy, but in the middle, it's kind of like an Oreo cookie. The serious part is in the cream in the middle.
I was thinking of Tootsie Roll Pop, but that's okay.
Oh, that's
a little
right.
Crunchy on the outside.
Does it take? How many licks does it take to get to the center? One, two,
three.
I love that. Love it. Yeah. Calvinism. Have you had that in your church? Have you had anybody try to bring that through the church?
I've tried to be very careful. We had a family that came to our church probably for about 9 years. And, wow. You know, the wife was very strong in like 2 points of Calvinism, not anything else. It is basically, you know, the fact of being ordained to being saved because of the mm-hmm. church that she grew up in. And so that was, and so that's why they never joined, but they attended, they tithed, they were faithful, they, you know, great supporters, but they felt, I think, overall, you know, felt that, you know, the wife felt that, you know, she would be just not being truthful by saying if they joined, they agreed with our doctrine, but they were delightful people.
Yeah, yeah. We had a little bit, not much, and as soon as I found out that people held to that, I would tell them, listen, you're not gonna survive in our church if you try to promote that. I'm gonna shoot you down. We don't have that. We're not following that. And so I didn't have very much. I find that most people really struggle to understand what it is. They might get caught up in some things. There's a name today. There's a Reformed Baptist by the name of John Piper that has become very popular, and he's a Calvinist and promotes
Baptist?
Calvinism. Yeah, yeah.
No kidding.
Reformed Baptist theologian. Yeah.
I always thought he was Presbyterian.
Yeah, so I don't know. This is what I got anyways, but yeah, so, but I mean, he's made big strides amongst younger people, and I do find that a lot of times kids in Bible college that want to exercise their great theological knowledge and understanding get into this stuff and try to promote this stuff too, and it's kind of a, you know, I'm way smarter than you. I know more than you. One of those things. And if you don't get it or understand it, then, well, you're just kind of a simpleton. I kind of get that impression sometimes from people, too.
Yes, and as I said on Monday, there are many factions of this entire movement. There are some that will reject pretty much three of the 5 points of TULIP or... I think probably the most common thing is people who say, well, yeah, but I don't believe that. And so, you know, people that would identify themselves as Reformed or as Calvinist or Calvinistic, there are so many different factions of it. But to understand the foundation of it, I think is very, very important. There is a movement called New Calvinism that sort of takes some of these doctrines and extrapolates them out into other things. Like, for example, many today of the new Calvinists will talk about preaching the gospel to yourself, that you should preach the gospel to yourself all of the time. Well, why? You know, the Bible does not record us to preach the gospel to ourselves, but to others. And so why would you do that? Well, some of it is intertwined with this concept of these 5 points that get sort of loosely pulled out into other areas and become sort of a major vein of a doctrine, but it's still, you find its roots here.
Yeah. What is the worst thing that can happen if somebody gets involved in Calvinism to that person?
Well, you know, I don't know the future, but I would be concerned that people would continue to teach their children how to be saved. And mm-hmm. I'm not saying that no Calvinist does that. That's not what I'm saying. So don't read that in there. But obviously, there can be a lack of effort for the Lord, and that is everywhere. That would be across everything, but that would be a danger. There, most often, whenever a church goes more Calvinistic, more Reformed, usually the evangelism wanes and really cools down right. quite a bit.
Right. I have some friends and I have some family that are adherents to Calvinism, and they tell me that they do evangelize. Mm-hmm. The one church went out, knocked doors, mm-hmm. would tell people about yep. Christ. So I think they would pick different tenets of the tulip. You know, they would maybe pick one or two, and that would be the main crux of right. their Calvinistic belief. So, yeah, you're right, and we've said that a couple times now, that not everybody who holds to Calvinism would say, yeah, I can't ever tell anybody about Christ, I can't share the gospel. They wouldn't say that. So that, and that's a problem with this thing, because there is, as you've said, there's so many branches of it now and so many facets of it, it's really hard to nail it down to one belief or one thought.
Yes, I read a whole tome of a book, The Other Side of Calvinism, and I thought it was a brilliant, brilliant book. I mean, it's super thick. But basically, the premise was, it just comes down to people who, what we would call a hyper-Calvinist, is somebody who right. acts on what he believes. And someone right. that we would term, oh, they're a little Calvinistic. They still hold to some mm-hmm. of those things. They just don't act on most of it.
Yes. Yeah. Can a Calvinist reside in a church like ours and be happy? Can they do that, do you think? I know you had that, you know, you had that family.
Well, I can think
were
of
they satisfied.
I think
happier?
Of an individual in another church that I knew very, very well, and that individual could not abide without sharing his doctrine in some form. It just yes. could not do it. And even though mm-hmm. he was questioned often and would use deceiving answers to, but his position was always one, there was no doubt of people who heard that individual teach on a consistent basis. There was no doubt that everyone said, oh, that guy's Calvinist. Yet he would say that he's not.
Right.
But he would emphasize those things over and over and over in
right.
subtle ways, which I did not appreciate.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And I do find that when people really get a hold of that thing, they can't keep it to themselves. They want
right.
they want to spread that and convert others with that and or to that, I should say. And that is a problem, because that's not what we believe. And I'll say again, if they come into your church, you better beware. If they approach you, you should let your pastor know, just to be careful and just to make sure there's no division that comes about. And they do try to draw younger people, you know, try to tell the people that, you know, our pastor's not deep enough. It doesn't get deep enough. You really get deep into the scriptures, this is what you find. I've heard that. I've seen that. And that's very deceptive and very hard. So, yeah, you got
to
be careful.
It's just, you have to sort of address some of these things, just like almost like a round robin kind of a thing, to be alert and to be aware. And again, I'm not saying that Calvinist people are unsaved. Some may be, but some Independent Baptists may be unsaved. But the doctrine of Calvinism is not a biblical doctrine. It is not in the Bible. Calvinism is what one man who studied the Bible came up with. And so that hence the name Calvinism, because that's what John Calvin taught and stressed, and many others did wind up adhering to.
Right. I'm doing some looking through New Calvinism, and maybe we can touch a little more of that on Friday, because I think that's that John Piper crowd, Tim Keller,
yes,
some of those.
Yes. That's the popular route now.
Right. So this article is called newcalvinist.com. While there are certain characteristics around which New Calvinists are united, it's a broad movement, and not all practice their faith in the same way. While most claim to be faithful to Scripture and to follow the essential tenets of Calvinist theology, many are marked by a love for the ways and things of the world, which manifests itself in unbecoming conduct that is far removed from the ways and beliefs of traditional Calvinists and Puritans. And I was kind of saying that you can do pretty much what you want, because you are the elect. You have been set aside by God. You're safe. You know, as long as you persevere, you're okay. And so that's where that comes from. And that's a big movement among a lot of college kids today.
Yeah, it's the concept of you can enjoy Christ. That's the phrase. You know, I can enjoy Christ. I went to a ball game the other day and enjoyed Christ. Because the concept is, since you are elect, and of course, even the term elect is misused, but if you are part of the elect, then it's like Christ has already covered everything that you do, and he's surrounding you and like a buffer. And so therefore, anything you do and partake in, Christ must be there present anyway. And so he is, right, in a way, they won't say this, but they infer he has now sanctified every event that you are a part of since he has foreordained your life. And so you can go to a rock concert and enjoy Christ. You can go to the bar and have a beer and enjoy Christ, as long as you don't get drunk. You can enjoy Christ. You can, you know, watch a worldly movie and say, you know, I got some good things out of that. So you can enjoy Christ. That concept, and it's rooted in the fact of election, unconditional election. So therefore, everything you're doing, since Christ knew ahead of time that that was something you're doing, and now that he's dwelling inside of your heart, and, you know, it's just he is giving you the opportunity that every day that you do something, every opportunity you have, you are actually enjoying Christ. Now, we would say, thank the Lord we got to see family. God is so good. We got to go visit family. But a new Calvinist would say, I got to enjoy Christ as I went and visited my family for the holidays. Right, and so, you know, that the idea that being Christocentric, that, you know, he's the one that really enabled this. And but whenever you start wrapping that around worldly things, I think it's I think it's shameful.
Have you ever had anybody tell you that they knew they were the elect? They knew they knew that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I had a guy tell me one time, he said, I can't get saved because I'm not part of the elect. I'm not called. I said, how do you know that? He goes, I just know. I just know I'm not called. And I said, really? And I said, he said, yeah. And I said, so you knowing what you know about heaven and hell, you would not receive Christ your Savior? No, because I'm not called of God. I'm not part of the elect. I thought, wow, how sad is that?
Well, I'm elect. And, I mean, it just,
it
means chosen, special, favorite. That's all that it means. Yeah. It doesn't mean that you have been picked out exclusively. It means that God's affection towards you has now made you chosen because he loves you. You know, you are more favorable than unsaved people.
Right. But that's not what a true Calvinist really holds to, right? You have
they
to be part of the
stretch
elect.
It
you
out.
Be part of what
they stretch
God,
out to mean right. something else. Again, the meaning, the definitions of word, so important.
Yeah, yeah. You got to be careful. And if you're dealing with people that hold to different doctrines, you have to, number one, answer with Bible. And we'll look at some Bible verses on Friday. But you've got to know Bible. You have to be clear in Bible. And you can't get caught up in the spider web that they spin. They'll run you all over the place and try to trap you in that thing. It's there's a lot of semantics. A lot of semantics in there. You know, we say, but we really mean, and all that. So you got to be careful. So leave it there. Pick it up on Friday. Good deal. Calvinism and New Calvinism.
Yes.
It's out
they,
there.
They pretend that they're two different things, but one is a branch out of the other. So you have to understand the roots of where that tree is planted. And even though the fruit may look a lot different and sound a lot different, you know, you understand it much more clearly whenever you see where the roots are.
Right, right. All right, we'll leave it there. I'm Al Stone, and I'm so glad you're along with us today. Thank you for being a part of Tim Talks. And I hope that you are strong in your belief that you're saved and that others need Jesus Christ. We're going to look at Friday, whosoever will may come. Whosoever will. I don't know how you get around that, but we'll look at that and some other things on Friday. I'm Al Stone.
This is Dan Wolven in Columbus, Ohio. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
Have a great day. We'll be back on Friday. This is the Tim Talks.
You've been listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, with new podcasts added each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To learn more about your hosts, Dr. Al Stone and Pastor Dan Wolven, you can visit us at timtalks.com. That's TIIM talks.com.